gathered together to worship you because you are deserving of our worship, the only one who is. And we love you this morning and we worship you. And it's our desire to become more like you today and hear your word spoken here in your house, that it might change us into the perfect image of Jesus, our perfect example. We pray for our members that are not here this morning, or can't be, they're somewhere else, or they're sick, and we lift them up to you. And we ask for each one of them to feel your presence right now, and to have a Sabbath blessing also. And Lord, we know that as humans, we often don't think the way you do or act the way you do, but we want to. And so we ask you this morning to change the way that we think, that we might think like you do and act like you do. And Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that as the word is spoken to us, that Father, each one of us would make a decision today that nothing will stand between us and heaven in that day when you break through the clouds and come and take us home. So anything that's more important than that today, Lord, we ask you to help us put us on. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Alone can
most of you, I'm going to guess, will have perhaps the New King James Version of the Bible. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Testament. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is drawing near. Hebrews was written to a group of believers who were beginning to drift. They were beginning to lose faith. They were not openly rejecting Christ, but they were just quietly withdrawing from the community of faith. And so the book of Hebrews gives a warning that is just as relevant or even more relevant today as it was then. Notice the phrase in your Bibles, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Forsake. It's a really strong word. I'm not going to try to say it in Greek, because I've never learned Greek. But the Greek word of forsake means to abandon, desert, leave behind. It's that same word is used in other places in the Bible. Paul uses it in 2 Timothy 4:10 on his missionary journeys. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was more interested in the things around him than the spiritual things that should be important to us. And then the same word is in one of the most heartbreaking statements in the Bible when Jesus was hanging on the cross. We all know what he said. My God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus was asking the question, why have you forsaken me? The word doesn't describe someone who's just missed an important appointment. It describes abandonment. Paul is warning the believers not to abandon the community of faith. And there's a very important spiritual principle in this. People rarely abandon faith suddenly. Most often, the process begins very quietly. A person begins to withdraw. They disconnect from the believers. They stop gathering. This church used to be really full. What has happened to all our believers? The dangerous part, slowly faith begins to weaken. Slowly. Because isolation weakens the soul. Once faith begins to drift, the first place we see it is when someone begins pulling away from the fellowship of believers. They stop coming to church. Maybe there are other events. For instance, just off the top of my yet when Elijah prayed to God, God sent fire and everything burned up. He won the contest. But then what happened? He heard that Jezebel was going to kill him. And so he raced out of town. He was running and ran into the wilderness. And then when he got to a place where he could finally hide, he cried out to God and he said, "I alone am left." What did God tell him? Told him something that Elijah did not realize. There were 7,000 other people who had not bowed to Baal. Elijah had got himself into a moment of isolation. And all he could think about was himself. When we are alone spiritually, discouragement grows larger. And discouragement is something that causes depression. And then the problem seems heavier and faith begins weaker. And then it leads us to the next truth. If isolation weakens faith, then gathering together strengthens faith. Many people think that coming to church worship is just to come and hear a sermon. Is that what we're here for? Hebrews 20, chapter 10, verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So the focus here is not the speaker. The focus is each other. And the word consider means to observe carefully, to think intentionally about someone else. Think back to the time when you were maybe a teenager, maybe a little bit older. You were at a time when you wanted someone to be very personal and special in your life. And so you made time for that important person. You would think of special things to do together with that special person, spending more time with them. So the reading the text, the idea is this. Believers should come together thinking about how to strengthen someone else's faith. The Hebrew describes two things that happen when believers gather. First, we stir up love. The phrase in the King James Version says, stir up love. It literally means ignite or provoke. Provoke. That's a word that I usually think of you're stirring up some trouble. But provoking is helping someone else to think of other ways. And faith can be contagious. When believers share testimonies, what are we doing during praise and prayer? Sharing testimonies. We're praying together. And we encourage one another. And something happens. Faith grows stronger. Second, we should encourage one another. Encouragement means to bring someone alongside you. In other words, when believers gather, they remind one another. We tell each other, keep going. Stay faithful. Don't give up. You know, last Sabbath, there were a lot of us that had to find a different way to get to church than the usual way that we drove. Especially those of us that live off of Main Street. We tried to go out. We have two streets to get out of our neighborhood. That's it. This was the Pear Blossom Run. I went down one street. Nope, can't get out. There were people with stop signs. Nope, police said you can't get out. And I said that they've always let us out. drove down that road. I've never driven there before. I felt like I was trespassing. But there weren't any signs that said no trespassing, so we kept on going. It took us all the way to Highway 238. We got out there, turned left, went up to Hanley Road. We couldn't turn left. I needed to get over to church. No, I had to turn right and exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened by sin. Sin just naturally hardens our hearts. And that hardening of the heart happens most easily when we're in isolation, when we're not coming to church, when we're missing the different programs that church has offered, when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, when we feel like we don't need anyone else in our lives. But when we gather together, we encourage one another, we pray together, we strengthen one another, and faith becomes resilient. Did you ever think about that word? Resilient. Weeds are resilient. Did you ever think about that? You pull out a weed and they usually break off. And you come back a few days later and the weed is growing again. Ray and I live in a neighborhood with a lot of trees. In fact, we live on Forest Avenue. Lots of trees. Lots of walnut trees. And we have lots of squirrels. So can you imagine the squirrels are getting the walnuts and they dig into our garden or in the grass and they push those walnuts down in there. And a few days later, I'll see some sprout. Got to pull it out right now. And if I pull it out with the walnut still attached, success. But if the walnut is still in the ground, what does that mean? You know, if the sprout got a little bit longer, and I pull on it, and the walnut is in there snug, and the sprout breaks off. So then I've got to get a shovel and dig it out. We don't want those weeds growing in our heart. The only way to kill a weed is to pull it out by the very roots or spray something on it that will kill the root. However, the devil knows the same principle. We as Christians should be grounded in Jesus. And the devil knows that if he gets to the root, in his mind, the root of the problem, because he hates Jesus, to him that's the problem. Jesus in your heart, that's the problem that Satan doesn't like. If he can get you discouraged, if he can get you depressed, if he can get all these trials in your life and test you, if he can get you to the point where you're asking, why are all these things happening to me? He knows that if he can get to the root and cause you to lay aside Jesus Christ, he has won the victory. Well, God knew that in these last days, in order to keep running the race, we would need strong faith. We need to come together as a church family and not forsake the gathering. Because when we forsake the gathering, it moves us into isolation, and isolation is a bad thing. Remember those Arctic explorers I was talking about at the beginning? Those who travel across the frozen wilderness knew something important about survival. They knew that when they travel, no one should travel alone. Because in the cold, in the storms, you could become numb, and isolation can become deadly. So they lived by a simple rule: stay together. Stay together. Paul gives the same counselor to believers. As the world grows spiritually colder, as trials increase, the day of Christ is approaching. Today, God calls his people not. faith to